Welcome to Conversations with Women Leaders, brought to you by DePauw University. Join us as we sit down with accomplished women leaders from various fields who share their personal experiences, challenges, and triumphs. Discover how these trailblazers have overcome barriers and shattered glass ceilings while making a positive impact on their communities and industries. Through these enlightening conversations, we explore the importance of a liberal arts education in shaping well-rounded, intellectually agile leaders.
All right, we're back with Diana Boyce, who is the vice president of the NBA All-Star Game with Pacer Sports Entertainment. We had an opportunity to talk to Diana a few weeks ago about her path and journey. And now we're here to follow up. Now that I could say the big game, but let's be honest, it wasn't just a game that was here. So Diana, can you give everybody who's listening right now and watching us an idea of what the All-Star Game was like? Was it really just February 16th to February 18th?
It was a moment in time, but there's a lot more to it than just a few days. So obviously the fact that we were awarded a bid in 2017 and all of the lead up, and more importantly, it's leaving it better than you found it. So that's all the legacy components. So yes, while it is February 16th through the 18th is what they market, it is so much more than that. And it is more than a game. It is, for us, it was 4 days. We initiated a few new elements that the NBA hadn't experienced in other places. And even the NBA recognizes it, because one of the things that they said to me early on is, rather than call this NBA All-Star Game, we call it NBA All-Star 2024, because it is an all-encompassing event. Whereas you don't call it Super Bowl game, you call it the Super Bowl, because it's multiple things that go into this element. And so NBA All-Star 2024 was an event that took place from February 15th through the 18th, but lots leading up to it and lots that will trickle on and live on, leaving it better than we found it.
That's great. I mean, Indy is known for being a community that embraces sports and is willing to be innovative and creative to give the fans something new and make them think like, hey, I want to come back to Indianapolis. So there were a couple of firsts, I will say, in this. And one of them was an opening ceremony that you all held on that 15th. Can you share with us how it came to be, what it looked like that day for folks who weren't able to attend?
So we called it the tip-off, because all things basketball, we don't kick off, we tip off. And so it was a ribbon cutting, for lack of a better description, but it was a ribbon cutting with an all indie flair. And we wanted to make it a very local opportunity to feature local talent as well as national talent. And we wanted to be able to bookend, when you think back, if you're familiar, when we delivered our bid to the NBA, we had Larry Bird in an Indy car drive down Fifth Avenue, pull up to the NBA headquarters and deliver the bid. And so we wanted to have that moment come full circle. And we were able to do that with another Indy car. And we drove in through from Monument Circle with Connor Daly and Tyrese Halliburton. And while they were unloading from the car, unbeknownst to the people who were all turned and looking at them, Larry Bird was back on the stage. And so there was truly a transition of the basketball from Larry Bird and Tyrese to be able to say, we really are tipping off this weekend. And it was free and open to the general public. It was a ticketed event, but it was free. And it was a beautiful evening. And we had lots of hype and lots of music and lots of energy. And we announced tribute to Oscar Robertson, which will be developed and installed over the next year at Crispus Attucks High School. And the band and the music and the hype. And then once we finished with all of that and recognizing some Indiana legends who were here and having the official ball transfer and some entertainment with T-Pain, then we had pyrotechnic, you know, the fireworks that went off, and the city was lit and ready to go.
There's a reason why it's called sport and entertainment.
Right.
It's not just sport, right? It's beyond the game. It's how does everybody get to be able to experience this, whether or not they actually make it in and see the sport, the competition, and so on. So Indy is known for doing, I would say, large parallel fan events. And you talked about that already on that Thursday night. We also know that the Indiana Convention Center was hosting a ton of stuff for fans, ticketed but free, if my understanding is correct, for some things. I think there were some concerts in there as well. But then also you had an initiative called Indy's Home Court, which was something we talked about a little bit when we spoke a couple of weeks ago, was this, how do you bring together arts and culture with sport? type of thing. Can you expand on, you can pick where you want to start, if it's the convention center or Indy's home court. I think it's great for our fans.
So the convention center was part of the main venues. So we had events at Gainbridge Fieldhouse, events at at Lucas Oil Stadium, and events at the Indiana Convention Center. So the fan experience at the convention center was called Crossover, and it was a ticketed event that you paid for that included the fan experience, that if you wanted to shoot hoops on the side of a basketball bus, that's called the hoop bus, you could do that. If you wanted to do a racing simulator, you could do that. If you wanted to listen to a podcast being taped, you could do that. If you wanted to hear some WNBA greats, you could do that. If you wanted to sit and hear the conversation with Bill Benner and Oscar Robertson, you could do that. So once you were in, you got to do all of that and experience all of that for as long as you wanted to be there. And then there were concert components of that as well. Some of them pre-event. So like on Saturday before the All-Star Saturday night, they had Keith Urban, and he was there and entertaining with a concert that was available. So lots of different events. There were some free elements in the convention center as well, with the e-gaming component of the NBA, and they did a lot of demonstrations, a lot of fun interactive experiences. And then again, back in Crossover, there was the G League, the Development League. They had a lot of different games, and they activated on a court, and it was just all the time energy, music, activity, the fusion of fan experiences, food and culture and art, and all of that was in Crossover. So that's one element in the three main facilities. All of those are a part of what you referenced in terms of Indy's home court. And that was a name that was developed by our Indy Experience Committee, because one of the beauties of when Indianapolis hosts these sorts of events is that our downtown is so compact, and we have more than 7,000 hotel rooms that are connected by skywalk or tunnel. You can get around downtown. So on Friday, when we have a little bit of snow, people were still able to get where they needed to be because they could go inside or they could go outside. It's Indiana. People are used to that. You come to Indianapolis in February and don't bring a coat and a hat, that's kind of shame on you, not shame on us, right?
Right.
So, and people do. They brought their coats. So we looked at our downtown, and when you look at Monument Circle, that represented like center court on if you were going to overlay a basketball court. And so when you look at where the various venues were, there was this nice representation of a basketball half court. And so it was deemed Indy's home court, because you're coming to Indy, you're going to play on our home court, you're going to be a part of All-Star, whether you're literally going in and putting your butt in the seat to experience All-Star Saturday night, or you're just coming down to hear a DJ who's playing and to experience the lights and the fireworks that I talked about or any on the tip-off event, you could be a part of it and never spend a dime. And so we wanted everybody to come and be a part of and be a fan and interact on Indy's home court. So when you look at that physical representation, geographic representation, it was also a marketing element that we played into as well.
I had not read on that, nor had I thought about that. And believe me, when I finish, I'm going to open up a map and put it down on paper. Absolutely ingenious. Now, there was All-Star Saturday night, but there was also a lot of other activity going on in Gainbridge Fieldhouse. So there was a lot of hype on a three-point contest going on. There was an HBCU game that was going on. I mean, it's not, again, going back to, it's not just a game, it's a weekend. And if you want basketball in all different shapes, sizes, and forms, you had the ability to do that. Can you run us through what the run of show in the field house itself might have looked like with these different events going on?
Sure. We can actually back up to Wednesday night. So Wednesday night at Gainbridge Fieldhouse, we had some private events for some of our key partners where they could come in and see the court and experience a lot of what was happening in terms of rehearsals and those sorts of things. So we were able to, and our employees got to see the court and have a photo on the court. So we were able to tip that off on Wednesday night. And then in specifically related to Gainbridge Fieldhouse, on Thursday, we've already talked about the tip-off. So that was outside at Bicentennial Unity Plaza, right outside of Gainbridge Fieldhouse. So that was the main event that happened on Thursday night. And then all of our outdoor activations, our lighting, our various things that we did in terms of the DJs, the music, everything that was outside, that was all open and available and experienced starting on Thursday night. And then Friday night, I'm going to reference both buildings. So Friday night, the first main event was the celebrity game, and that occurred at Lucas Oil Stadium. And that was at 7 o'clock. And then you could easily, unlike many other cities, you could walk over to Gainbridge Fieldhouse at 9 o'clock. We had the Rising Stars event, the Panini Rising Stars. And that was three mini games where the different members of the G League teams were competing against each other for the ultimate crown. So that was Friday night at 9 o'clock here in Gainbridge Fieldhouse. And then Saturday morning, right back in Gainbridge Fieldhouse, if you wanted to be able to experience the all-star players, you could come and be here for their practice on Saturday morning. So doors open first thing on Saturday morning, and all-star practice and media day, where all the media, the throngs gather around a general area where all the players are set up, and they get to ask all their questions, whether it's about all-star experience or whether it's about general play or where they're headed for the rest of the season, those sorts of things. So the practice and the media day all occurred here at Gainbridge Fieldhouse. And then immediately following that, you could use your ticket for the practice and stay in the building and experience the HBCU game, or you could buy a ticket and just come to the HBCU. It's the third year the NBA has hosted an HBCU classic. And for a state that doesn't have an HBCU facility in our boundaries, we were thrilled with the actual participation of fans, the bands, the cheerleaders, the dancers, all of that. So leading up to the game, which occurred in Gainbridge Fieldhouse, we had a pep rally, a pregame experience that, again, happened out on Bicentennial Unity Plaza. So you would see the walk. Some of the Black sororities do their walk and various things. So lots of hype and lots of energy that occurred outside the building. Then you go in, you actually have the college game. It's a true college game, counted toward their regular season. That occurred in the facility. And then immediately following the game, just to keep that theme of basketball, and you talked about basketball of all ages, outside, back on Bicentennial Unity Plaza, we had a knockout finals competition. So I got to give you a little history. Leading up to All-Star Weekend, one of the ways we reached out to create a grassroots opportunity across the state of Indiana was through the Indiana High School Athletic Association. So IHSA helped us facilitate a 92 knockout, where we were able to go and have participants from all 92 Indiana counties participate in knockout at various high school games all across the state. And some of them, we had Fever players who were there. I went to one here, was able to experience it. We had different people. So we had hundreds of participants, in up to 24 different participants at each high school were able to be a part of this. And then we invited all 92 of those winners to Indianapolis in this finals competition. So we had close to 40, I think, who took us up on the offer. And out there, we did the finals. So we had the true knockout winner that happened there. And those were kids ages 10 to 18. So kind of hitting that whole spectrum. Saturday night, you bounce back over to Lucas Oil Stadium, where you've got All-Star Saturday night and the skills competition, the three-point shooting competition, and the slam dunk competition, and then the shoot-off between Steph and Sabrina, and all that happened. And then you have a concert, a late-night concert, back at Crossover. And then you roll into Sunday, and there's this Legends brunch that happened at the Convention Center, and then the actual game on Sunday night back at Gainbridge Fieldhouse. So, and there were 150 other events over the course of the weekend, some of them official, some of them not official, probably closer to 200. So I've just given you a very high level rundown of what all was happening in our city.
It sounds exhausting, but probably absolutely energizing too in those spaces. You just go, go, go and experience. And then at some point you probably sit down, and it's probably pretty hard to get up at that moment in time of just need to take a breath, maybe even a little bit of a nap.
Yeah. I slept 10 hours Monday night.
Yeah. That's good. So I sure
had a lot of sleep before.
Yeah. You are owed that sleep for sure. But tell me, how do you pull that off? Like, how, I mean, you are far more entrenched in the indie sports scene than I am, but knowing the capability of indie in hosting any number of large scale events in sports over the last 12 years that I've lived in this state, it takes an army of folks in order to get this done. So how in the world, like how many people, how do you go about getting people? Like what happens if you don't have enough people? Have you ever had not enough people when you have to do this?
Not an indie. So that's our trademark. And I think even Adam Silver referenced it a few times in his interviews, that it is all about the partnerships and the collaboration. Those are the two key words I would say, that it's just You pick up the phone. I mean, I have a perfect example. On a week before, the NBA said, hey, we're going to need a few people to do XYZ. Can you find us people? And they need to be people who have this sort of skill set. I picked up the phone to call somebody who I felt met that. And she said to me, you know what? I'm going to find your other 6 or 8 people. Give me 2 days. And 48 hours later, she had those 6 or 8 people. They were, I didn't have to do anything. You know, I was just calling her to see if she would be one of my people. And she's like, I got this. We're going to do it. I'm going to take care of this for you. That sort of thing. So, and that was a last minute example. We're not last minute about everything. So we've been very planful. We had 24 committees, a little coincidental for 2024, maybe, maybe not. We had 24 committees and they were focused on various different things. And I think we talked about this before, but everything from sustainability to marketing to arts and culture. And you mentioned that partnership. It is very unique to Indianapolis that people will come to the table who maybe are in a normal day's work competing with each other and sit down together for the collective good of the whole and say, let's make this happen. Or what do we need to do to make this happen? And I love that. And so on these 24 committees, we had 450 people from across the community. About 100 of those were employees, but another 350 were from just all over, literally all over the state. And what do we do? How can we help? Let's form a plan. Let's focus on our committee. Let's work with the other committees. Let's get this figured out and make it happen. And those committees were formed leading into what was originally 2021. And then we took a pause, reformed the committees, added a committee or two, removed a committee or two, and reshaped what we looked at, what our plan being for 2024. And they're the people who make it happen. So you've got staff people like me and 8 or so others. And then you've got this whole host of volunteers and groups from our Visit Indy, our Downtown Indy, our Chamber of Commerce, Indy Hub, Indiana Sports Corporation, all of those people who are willing and excited and engaged in the whole planning and implementation elements of this. And that includes government entities, city, public safety, state. We had snow, so we had snow removal. I mean, you know, everybody. And I love that. That is a very unique element that people make the difference here.
All right. Sounds like it was a rousing success. Anything spark creativity for the next time Indy has one of these big events? I mean, don't give me any trade secrets because I don't want anybody else to put it in their bid. But is there anything, is there any sort of like broad topic you might share with me where you're like, I think we need to explore this a little bit more?
I think I would look at that from, if I'm another city, what are some things that we can take notes from? So the tip-off event, how do you localize this? And we have always been very focused on that in Indianapolis when we put these events on. How do you make it more than a game? And I've used that. I've said that in probably any conversation that I've had, that making it more than a game is so important. And so all of the hype and all of the celebrities and all of the basketball that happened on the court are critical, obviously, in the international eye and what was shown on TV. And then all these other things, the Special Olympics of Indiana and Boys and Girls Clubs of Indianapolis, being the recipient of hundreds of thousands of dollars that are going to impact those organizations for years to come. Those are really critical. And how you plan for that, how you find those right partners, I think is very important. I would also say that the NBA, one of the things that we did also, which I was new and different for the NBA, is we created some really strong online tools for people to use that I would hope to see other cities and including our city take forward in future opportunities. So thinking back to when I worked on the Super Bowl, one of the things that we did was we set up a social media center. We set up a hub where we were monitoring social media, we were responding, we were reacting, we were answering questions. And that was the first time that had happened with a Super Bowl. And they took that note and took that forward. I would say similarly here with All-Star, we were able to accomplish something similar with what we call the digital playbook and our Know Before You Go sorts of notes that were available. So we created this online template where you could pick, I'm interested in music. Well, here are all the options. And then you literally could create your playbook on your phone of every place you could go that you could experience music for the weekend. And so that digital playbook was a unique indie element that I think really made the experience from a fan perspective. I know even my daughter, and obviously she had a little inside track, but she was coming down for the weekend and she told me earlier in the week, she's like, all right, well, I saw this on the playbook. Tell me more about it. And I hadn't told her to find that resource. And so she was trying to develop her plan for the weekend by looking at the playbook.
That's awesome. I am so proud that you have been able to take time out of your schedule, proud of how you have represented DePauw, the Pacers, Indiana, the state of Indiana, over the years, and just put on these awesome events. And every time we talk, you're just like, just kind of what we do, right? Like, we're creative, but, you know, we make it look kind of easy, sort of thing. But I think that ease comes with the ability to think at a high level and then drill down into the details, finding the right people who need to be around you, right? You don't have to do everything, but right, you're gonna have to figure out who's in your corner to be able to delegate those kind of things. And then how can you be creative and innovative in these spaces? There's certainly things that I think every city needs to reproduce, right? And over time, that's why any of these large scale events have turned from a game to a weekend and much more hoopla than what it was before. But that Indy keeps continuing to be creative and innovative in what they're going to bring. And again, your point of leaving a legacy, not just in the city where we've been, but leaving a legacy in terms of how we're looking at all these games. So I'm out of questions for you. Is there anything else that you want to share with those that are going to be listening and watching with us about your experience or just anything else? The floor is yours.
I would love to say that our community is just very unique. I've said it several times, and I truly love that passion. And I love that, whether it's Taylor Swift coming later this year, or it's the Eclipse, or it's a sporting event, that Indy typically crushes it. And people who haven't experienced that, when they come to Indianapolis, we let our actions speak louder than our words. So, because that's how we are primed and pumped and ready to deliver. And to see that continue, I would say part of the important piece of this, when we do these sorts of events, and this was really focused on during the Super Bowl, and I've taken it forward, and Mark Miles and that leadership team then, in terms of these major events, that you have people like me who are seasoned, the gray hair, been around, done a few of these things, but that you're building the bench, that you're finding the next people, and that you're handing that baton over, so that Indy can continue to have that unique element that sets us apart. And so whether it's students at DePauw who get that opportunity through a winter term experience or a summer internship or the MOFO program or whatever it is, building that bench and being able to take that into the next generation is really important. And speaking of the next generation, I think one of the things that I really feel passionate about that I do want to make sure that I emphasize for this is that legacy component. And I love the attention that Indianapolis and Indiana received, the national and international spotlight that we were in during that 4-day window, and the comments from the, you know, Reggie Miller, who obviously knows Indiana better than many players, the Charles Barkley and various different people who were here. I love all of that, but I really believe in the community aspect of it equally, or maybe even more so, because of that lasting component. And so a perfect example is the $1 million, more than $1 million that we invested in 24 youth serving organizations across the state of Indiana, brick and mortar improvements that were made because of All-Star that are going to benefit hundreds of thousands of students over the course of decades while they are being used. And we awarded scholarships affiliated with those different youth serving organizations as well. So we awarded 21 scholarships in 21, and then we were able to go back to the 24 legacy grants and award 24 more scholarships. And so helping those people develop their skills, those young people, and having an impact on them just through scholarship money. And we had one of our 2021 recipients who faced a fairly horrific tragedy leading into 2021. And we were able to continue to support him. We were able to stay in touch with him. He was able to really blossom as a very young man at that time. And he informed me when I saw him, he was a part of All-Star Weekend. He was able to identify that he's getting ready to actually start school and pursue a nursing degree. And just those sorts of things that I hope he can look back and say, you know, part of this was because that was that cool All-Star event that happened in Indianapolis back in the 2020-24 era. So those sorts of components are lifelong elements that I really value and treasure and am humbled to be a part of.
Diana, I want to thank you for taking time for us today to give us the rundown on the 2024 All-Star Weekend, All-Star, we're not saying game, but All-Star Opportunity Experience. We're really grateful that you continue to give back to DePauw and meet with our students. I just got the evaluations from our class in winter term when we came to see you. You were rated very highly on there. And I appreciate that because that helped lift up my numbers and that of my co-instructor. But they love the opportunity to come and see Gainbridge and talk to a DePauw alum and just hear how sport can be part of their career and life going forward, even though they themselves may not have been the star athlete in that space. So Thank you so much for this opportunity. And I know that we will see you again soon.
Absolutely. Thank you. Really appreciate it and treasure my days at DePauw and that they continue.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us on Conversations with Women Leaders, brought to you by the Sanger Leadership Initiative at DePauw University's School of Business and Leadership. For more information about DePauw, visit depauw.edu.